Our world is magical. Games are magical. Open your eyes and prepare to discover how magic and games intersect.
Merry meet and welcome to Covenstead, a podcast about gaming and magic.
Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of Covenstead, a podcast of gaming and magic. And while we like to think that every episode is special, it's very special to us, this is our first year anniversary episode, our retrospective, if it will. And of course, with me for this momentous occasion is my co-host and coven mate, Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hello, hello, hello. 1 year, huh?
Yep, 1 year. Well, technically a few years for us, but as far as the general public is aware of, it's been 1 year. When this episode comes out, it'll be a couple days after, because it's May 16th, if I remember, 2022 was when we put out Session 0 and Session 1 simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And even though those episodes we actually recorded in December of 2021, I think. Mm-hmm. Because we wanted to test it out and get a bit of a trial run, so to speak.
Yeah, lead way.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what ended up happening was, really, it was kind of like an Alanis Morissette moment, where it was just like the demo was perfectly fine, right on track. And even too, that was the first time that you gave the closer of, you know, we hope you have a little magic in your gaming and a little gaming in your magic. And I think I just screwed up the order of it, actually. So that's why it's always up to you to do it. But even that right there, as soon as you said that part and we wrapped up, it was just like, holy shit, we just nailed this thing. Like, on the first take, it's just a matter of ums and ahs and everything. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, this has been really cool. So, yeah. let me ask you, it's been a year. How do you feel the show is going? Let's kind of get into, like, a little kind of stars and wishes.
Stars and wishes. My star for you is, I feel like you always ask me great questions. It always makes me think about stuff I don't, you know, you go around your day, and the thing is, when you're in something, like I'm in Wicca, it sort of becomes, because a lot of people around you have the same feelings, so you don't know what other people don't know. For you, there's stuff that's common knowledge, or things you wouldn't, like, expect other people to be curious about, but then they are, you know, or they don't know, and so you're surprised, you're like, I didn't think that would be, like, a question someone would ask, so... You always ask me really great questions, and you're always a great learner, and you know, wanting to know things and learning and all of that. And for the podcast, I like to think that, you know, we're unique in the fact that we have a very specific, very small niche topic that we're talking about here. So I would like to think that we're kind of unique in and of ourselves as terms of our topic of our podcast. You know, I mean, there's plenty of gaming podcasts out there. Tons of gaming podcasts out there. The actual play podcasts. There's, you know, GMing podcasts. There's player podcasts. You know, I know there's a podcast out there where someone does recaps of their game every week for people, like recounting the story of their games every week. There's tons of stuff. But I think I'd like to think that we're unique in the fact of that we specifically discuss gaming and real life magic and real life paganism and how they intersect and how they work in the game that we're creating. And I feel very proud of that. How about you?
Yeah.
What are yours?
Yeah, no, completely agree with that. Yeah. And especially too, like we've mentioned a few times on the mics about how certain times we come up with a topic that is a really good fit for this niche, you know, field that we're trying to cover. And yet we seem to have no issue whatsoever going for at least an hour. Like for all of you at home, there's almost nothing that gets cut other than some extra long spaces, ums and ahs here and there. But even then, I'm not as inclined to leave it in. Or sorry, I'm inclined to leave it in. See, I might just cut that blip right there. But other than that, you know, like what you hear is what we actually say and what we talk about, unless like a pet interrupts. And that, even then, that's very minimal. They're very respectful of what we do, which is good. But yeah, I agree with that 100%. It's been really interesting to kind of see just how much we're able to talk about with it. And there's just other things that we can kind of also sidebar on, you know, like when we did the episode about freelance work, you know, from both of our different perspectives. And that's the thing I like about it is, yeah, your perspective in so many ways for so many different reasons is a good balance and counterpoint to where I'm coming from on certain topics, you know. And that's what I like about it is it almost kind of like, it's like we're walking a tightrope in the sense that we have a very thin subject matter that we're trying to cover, and both of us are either side of the pole that the performer uses to actually walk the tightrope. Mm-hmm. And if one of us leans, you know, like heavier than the other, then, you know, that's it. We're going to fall off the tightrope. So, yeah, I really like that. And I really appreciate when you say about, you know, like the questions, because I am very much enjoying the interviewing aspect of things, that I really want to look into it more and more. So, and I just like learning about stuff that I don't know about. So, yeah, cool. Mm. Is there anything that you would like us to do more, less, you know, or anything, any kind of changes that you would like to see, other than absolute complete fame and adulation as several celebrities follow the podcast and just like, you know, go on about us on TikTok or right, whatever it is the kids are using these days?
You know, I don't have too many wishes as far as that goes, because this would be the wishes part, you know, this would be the what do you hope? But I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's too much that I would change. I think I would like us to get out there more. I mean, as far as, you know, get more advertising out there, let people know about the podcast, you know. And some of that is on me, that I need to find the time to, like, you know, be posting about it and letting people know about it and stuff. Because I know I have plenty of people on my list who are pagans and also gamers. And so, who knows, you know. So I think I'd like to see where, you know, what else we could do to kind of bring interest and see, you know, if we can get to our audience a little bit more than we have. But other than that, I think our format and, you know, a lot of podcasts, and we've kind of talked about this before, you know, they have very set formatting. They're very more, you know, more formalized or more like, you know, have a lot of production going on. And we have some, you know, we have our theme song and, you know, the theme that we have and all of that. And, but as far as it goes, we're very casual, and I kind of like it that way. You know, I mean, my hope is that when people listen, it's like, oh, we're just hearing two people talk about this and I'm involved in the conversation. And, you know, they feel confident enough to, you know, maybe ask questions or interact and see what's going on. And hopefully, you know, or bring it up to somebody and say, hey, I was listening about this thing, or find out more about either the games we talk about or about paganism or any of that stuff. So, what about you? What are your wishes?
Yeah. I know for me, I've got a few personal ones, just more so of how I handle myself during the recording. This entire first year, as you know, any of our regular listeners would know, has been a slow and steady progression from recording from the back of my Jeep while stealing my employer's Wi-Fi.
without I remember their that. Knowledge.
Yep. And you could hear the audio quality because the only microphone I had was the cord from my iPhone. So it was like, you know, reporter on the street level kind of stuff. And then to get to the point where I'm actually able to record from home and having that kind of quality and everything. And so there's little stuff where, like, for example, this is the first episode where I've got one of these little mic filters in front, because I've noticed that if, you know, there's certain times where I just make a loud pop sound and I just can't cut that out.
Or yeah, pop filter.
Don't know how to edit that.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Pop filter. Yeah.
Yeah, I have one on my mic too.
That was the
yeah.
other thing. And once I started using a webcam and we turned cameras on, because for a while we didn't. It was totally audio.
Yeah.
And once we started going back to cameras and I'm like, oh, Danny's got one of those. I got to get me one of those. So it's been stepping up a little bit. Even too, right now, I'm keeping my hands very firmly, like kind of like on my lap, because I notice I flail them around a lot and then I hit stuff. I make creaky noises. You know, it's just like, just to save myself the trouble of being the perfectionist who tries to edit everything out. It's like, it'd be a lot easier if I just kept my hands to myself and get a filter so then I could just talk and be more casual and all this other. So for me, there are some of the more technical stuff. I would very much like to see our audience grow. But and I agree with you. I think it's just more a matter of just, you know, as time, as people find us. And I personally would really like to see a lot more more emphasis on having pagan listeners who happen to be gamers, who are also gamers. But to me, I kind of find that that's almost kind of like the angle I'd like to look at things. So that when we have our game episodes, it's almost kind of like, you know, not only are we coming at it from the viewpoint of, you know, of paganism, Wicca and everything, but, you know, I kind of feel sometimes that if there are any pagan listeners out there who are getting into gaming, that we're also kind of able to help kind of, you know, educate it and inform and everything else like that about some of the deeper levels of how the game goes. I know I've got a few topic ideas where I'd like to start getting into like some of the heavier aspects of it. Just because when I think about the kind of games that I've been seeing now that have pagan influences, references and stuff, those game styles have a unique way that they're built compared to, say, like your D&D, your more mainstream kind of success, fail and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, as far as how we actually do the show, I really have no notes whatsoever. It's an absolute thrill. I'm just excited and ramped up beyond belief when we are done. And then when I'm listening to it, I'm just like, oh, goddamn, this is good. You know, it's just like, it just reaffirms how I felt when we were recording. And then I'll listen to it again in my car once it actually releases. And it's still like, yep, nailed it. And then if anything, it's more of like, oh, and these speakers, I hear this problem that I didn't hear before. You know, I'm just making more notes on perfecting the editing process. But as far as how we do it, I wouldn't change a thing, honestly speaking. Mm. Maybe some more guests, which we have talked about, you know, kind of ramping that up. Because that was fun when we had that. That was a really cool discussion, you know, and I'd like to do more of that. Not just with people in the games industry. I think it would be really neat to also have, you know, people on just to discuss their beliefs and to get into that aspect, because there is, right now we have you as a reference, but that is your point of view. And right.
I've always said, I don't speak for everybody. So
exactly. It's completely individualistic. Like I remember too, when, oh, I'm absolutely terrible with names. I'll edit this in. When
Steffi
was on the show and mentioned about how that there are some who believe in, the way she put it, the man in black. And that was kind of like, oh, whoa, that's interesting. But we were in the middle of talking about something else and we never got there. That kind of stuff, yeah. I'd be really interested to have people on specifically to talk about their beliefs.
Yeah, 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 for sure. That'd be great. I'd be all about that. I always like talking to people who are pagan and practicing, because it's, you know, part of what I love about paganism is that we are very much a learning practice, a learning religion. Like, you're constantly changing your feel, you change yourself, we're constantly evolving and developing and learning. Paganism is very much involved around the, you know, life is a journey, not the destination. It's, you learn along the way, you learn from each other, you know, so it's always fascinating to talk to other pagans because they have different perspectives than I do. And maybe I learn something and I unfold something into my own practice or my own system that helps clarify something I was confused about. It's always, and I love that, you know, and I'm sure people in other religions maybe have some similar experiences, but for me, it was kind of never the same, or I never got that impression from other practices, which is why I in particular are drawn to this, because that's something I feel like I wanted from my religious practice, that I wanted it to be a constantly learning, constantly growing, constantly changing sort of thing, you know? And that's what I got from it. Yeah. And as I mentioned before, everybody gets different things or needs different things from their spiritual practice. So, and that just happens to be what I found in mine, you know, and other people find different things in other ones that they need at that time in other religions and, or, you know, that they grew up with and everything like that. So yeah, for sure. I'd be all about that.
I'd also love to get like some historians in some way. So like, I'd love to get a scholar or two on here to get into the more historical aspects of things, or at least, you know, like how they're documented, how it's generally believed, you know, to get into some, you know, just kind of basic overall history. Even when it comes to, you know, like I very much would like to learn more about kind of the, I guess you could say, the fall of paganism, you know, when the Romans basically, you know, invaded England. And that kind of stuff, to get a little bit kind of more backstory of, you know, like, oh, okay, so that's how this led to this, led to this, led to that. Mm-hmm. And, but I'd also love to get people on to talk about the history of paganism in gaming. Like, I would love to have Shannon Alpokline, who is basically RPG's unofficial or maybe even official historian. Like, he's written books and books and books, meticulous detail. Called Designers and Dragons. Just meticulous detail.
Okay, this may sound silly, and I may be outing myself, but I've never heard of this person. So I feel like I should, though.
Yeah, it. You know what? I'll send you links, and we'll post links in the show notes.
That's fascinating, though. I mean, just I really known,
well done.
I should have known somebody would do, like, history of gaming and history of D&D. As somebody who studied anthropology, that's definitely the type of thing that I love, you know, finding out how something started and how it changed over the years and all of that stuff is something that fascinates me. That's why I got a degree in it, because I'm always fascinated by that. But I'd never heard of this person. So you learn something new every day. This is my learning thing for today. I'd be interested in reading that. Designer and Dragons.
There we go.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll send you the link to it. And then, like I said, I'll post in the show notes and everything. But I would love to have him or someone else like him on to, you know, to try and get a little bit more kind of detailed idea of, you know, how paganism may have been
the satanic panic, all that sort of stuff from back in the day, and how that, because it's always kind of been associated in that negative way, you know what I mean? So even if even when we're looking at kind of the similarities and how the way you do things kind of overlaps and how one informs the other, there is that just this that mainstream connection from back in the 80s when D&D came out, that all of a sudden it's associated with witchcraft and stuff because it has certain things in it that people associate with witchcraft. They didn't understand it, much like everything that people accuse with. They don't understand it. So witchcraft, you know, or it seems weird, or it seems not of the social norm. So, you know, I mean, that'd be fascinating. I'd be all about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the kind of stuff where it's like, you know, that all that kind of stuff can carry us for years, really, in a nutshell. We did also talk about having some episodes that specifically talk about certain genres. Mm-hmm. Like, your eyes really lit up when the idea of just having an episode all about horror came up, because I know that genre is your jam and everything. And there's so much to talk about, aplenty, even too, just like as a general. And that's what I like. You know, we try and have a balance of, we have a witch episode, we have a gaming episode, and then we have a hybrid episode most of the time. Sometimes we just have one or the other. But I like the fact that we can, you know, have that kind of balance. And while it seems like we're doing something with a narrow focus, I think the door is still open wide enough that we can go a bunch of different ways. Like, not every episode has to be how all of these things are related. Like, even two. And then there's others where it's just kind of like an anonymous. It's like, this could go in either direction. Like, when we did our three-part one on magic systems. That one, in all honesty, I mean, like, while it's very game-centric, because, you know, but that one was just kind of like you could look at that in any direction. And that's what I like about it. But we were coming at it as people working on pagan-based magic systems, and you yourself as someone who, you know, like, magic is a real thing. So, yeah, just I think that there's a bunch of different ways that this could go, and I just enjoy doing this. I've wanted to have a regular podcast for years and was just never able to. And when it became apparent that you and I had a really good online chemistry instantaneously, I bent over backwards to make this happen. Even though, like I said, I had to steal Wi-Fi, you know, like in the back of my Jeep and everything. Yeah. Crimes were not committed to make this podcast happen.
Guerrilla podcasting. That's what it is. Guerrilla podcasting.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Where are you calling from today, Todd? It's just like, well, I'm here in Beirut, but I can't stay long. No. I'm parked at the back of a Pet Value, you know, like hoping no one comes out to do the garbage, you know, and sees me.
What are you doing here, sir? Sorry.
Yeah. I did have that actually at one point. I don't think we were recording, and maybe it wasn't with you, but one of the employees came up and just like, what are you doing here? You finished like 2 hours ago.
Doing a podcast.
Doing a podcast. That's awesome. Yeah. That's funny.
So, yeah. But yeah, I'm just really enjoying this, and it's really, this medium has really been, for me, it's very accessible, but it's also for me, podcasting is a very interactive experience. I find a lot of my podcasts that I'm a huge fan of, I really feel like I can reach out and connect with those people, and I have. And because I'm such a glutton for attention, I make a point of getting on any podcast that I've ever really been a huge fan of, in one way, shape, or form. Whether or not that's actually, you know, talking my way into actually being a guest on the show and getting to know the host personally and meeting them at conventions and stuff, or submitting voicemails. I have long-term strategies on how I'm going to get on various podcasts because I'm a huge fan of them. I'm just like, especially too, like, screw it. I'll put it out here. So, Craig Shipman, the host of Tabletop Talk, if this clip of me saying this at this moment gets to you, I want to be on your show. I want to be on your show. I want to be on your show. I will be a super fascinating person to talk to. I kid you not. I have so much I want to talk to you about, and the questions that he asks and everything. Oh, anyway, so I got that out of the way.
Your fan moment for the episode. Fanboy moment.
Yeah, this is me gushing out big time. But yeah, and it, so now having done this and kind of working out the kinks I find and getting really comfortable with it, it's just like I want to do more. It's almost like if I can find a way, if this is like this has been my creative release in a year that has really stomped hard on a lot of my creative outlets.
Oh,
in one
no
way,
kidding.
Shape, or form.
No it's kidding.
Been harder and harder.
Been like that for me, too.
And it's also too. Yeah. Yeah. Like we've both had to. And I think a lot of people have in the last couple of years with everything that's been going on. But I know for, yeah, us, it's been hard with all our other creative outlets. And this is the one that's always been there. It's always worked. And it's always been like, well, if I haven't been able to work on anything else and make something else, I've still been able to make the podcast. And that has filled such a void at times that it's just been, I've just been so grateful that we've been able to do this. And because of how my brain works now, the endorphin rush has become an addiction. And that's why I'm just like, I need to make another podcast. I need to make another podcast. What if I did this podcast? What about this podcast? I can make a network. So deep breath, calm, and focus on one at a time while thinking about a possible second one.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. So, I mean, I guess at this point, you know, we talked about this, that, you know, I usually go on and on and get asked questions about paganism and stuff like that. But I'm curious. So what are some conceptions that you have had? I know we've talked about this before a little bit, but it was a while ago. Or conceptions that you had about paganism or Wicca or any of that, that you had coming in that you have now changed your perspective on, if anything.
Yeah, okay. So here we go. So here's the segment of the show where we ask a middle-aged white man for his opinion. Excellent. Okay.
See, it's being solicited,
because we all know that's it's
being solicited, though. So there's a difference. Yes. You're not offering it unprompted. Very true.
Yeah. Yeah. Nope. That is very true. It's with full consent and everything.
Yes.
I think the biggest one, it's a bit of a skewed question, because first of all, it's not like all of this started with the podcast, like going into session zero. I'm just like, you know, like, paganism, what is this? You know, but since the podcast started, the one thing I've really come to see is that it's not, I really want to be careful how I put this. To me, I always kind of looked at it as just like, oh, okay, so it's another form of like organized religion that's been a little bit more on the fringe. You know, that there maybe not as many people or not as, you know, large a congregation, so to speak, like that. But I've come to see it now as being something that is far more of a mantra, a kind of a way of life. I've seen it more having in common with Buddhism, as I understand it, than other religions and beliefs that I've seen before. And that whole sense of it's about trying to find your own personal way of doing things versus, oh, someone wrote this stuff down as a guideline, you know, as a way of doing things. I'm just going to follow this one book, this one, you know, doctrine or whatever the case may be, and try and keep up with everybody else. What I've really come to see and really respect is that whole idea of just, you know, this is a way that we have come to find peace in our existence on this planet. And we want to share it with others, but at the same time too, it's all very personal. It's all very individual. There's no one way of doing things, but at the same time, there is still this common existence of, you know, everybody sharing something together. Mm-hmm. Like we talked about with the last episode with symbols, right. You know, like
it's like everybody having, you know, a pair of pants, people, but they're all different colors, their materials, different, all of that, different sizes, but they're all pants. They're all pants,
yeah.
But they're different fabrics, they're different colors and everything. And your goal is to find what kind of pants you want to wear. And that's kind of what paganism feels a lot like to me. It's the very base. It has a general core that we understand as paganism, but there's so many different materials. There's so many different sizes and shapes and stuff that you can use. Skinny jeans, bootcut jeans, palazzo pants, you know. Any kind, you know, sleep pants, loungewear, you know, whatever, you know, and figuring out what, you know, but it's all covering your bottom half and it's all pants, theoretically, you know, going in but it's just, it's very different. That's how I like to think of it. The very base and basic things that we understand, but it's all has different flavors, all has different context to it. Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. I definitely agree with that. I'm glad that's something you got out of it, because that's important.
Yeah. And And it's the thing I like about it too, is that it's for me as somebody outside constantly looking in and poking around and stuff like this, I just kind of like the idea of it being still interpretive. So that me as a creator, because my objective in this with this podcast is twofold. One, to help myself get a better understanding of paganism, Wicca, and witchcraft as a creator, so that I can apply that into something that I'm creating, which is the Ironbound game. But at the same time, it's also an opportunity for me to demonstrate how I feel about how people of different beliefs should coexist. Because the one thing about it is that, you know, you and I have been talking about this pretty solid for a year and a half, but even more so for several years. And it's not something where it's just like, I think I'm going to convert to paganism. I think I'm going to become a witch. Mm-mm. No, it doesn't. It hasn't changed, you know, like how I look at my life and view my life. But what I really appreciate about everything I've learned so far is that it's been an opportunity for us to demonstrate, here's how people of two completely different beliefs, walks of life, recognize what they have in common and talk about it honestly and openly. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the things I really appreciate, is the fact that I can just, you know, have opportunities to just ask you questions directly. Just come right out with it and say, like, I don't understand, what is this? What's this triple moon thing? What's with the emphasis on the moon? Oh, okay, that makes sense. That makes total sense. And it's one of those things, and it's a format that I really enjoy. I find I learn a lot better than by reading something in a book sometimes. So, but yeah, I just really kind of like the fact that I very much feel comfortable now more than ever of just being kind of outright and saying, it's like, hey, what is this? I'm curious about this. Why is this significant to you? Mm-hmm. In ways that I'm otherwise not comfortable with other people, other religious people in my past, and I guess present too. Because it always kind of feels like the carpet's got, you know, covered in shattered pieces of glass. I don't know if I want to step on that. You know, it's kind of like that, just, it just feels like I'm just opening up a door that's never going to close. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like about, you know, our discussions and just being able to, even to like other people, there's a woman who I work with now, who is a witch. And I just love the fact that it's just like, boom, you know, I can just kind of ask questions of just like, oh, interesting, you know, like, how long have you been a witch and everything else like this. I feel more comfortable to ask and find out. I also find it more interesting. So, yeah, I think for me, it's just really, I don't know, it's cool. It's kind of like, you know what, if you're going to have a belief system, and as an agnostic, I don't, but I'm very open to the right idea of it. But it's just kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe not for me, who knows. But I just kind of think it's just like, you know what, that is a cool way of doing thing. You know, it's kind of like, you know, it just feels a little bit more kind of grounded and a little bit more sensical versus just like, well, hold on a sec. If sex is a sin, then how come having a family is the right way of doing it? I don't get it. You know, like just those two things don't quite line up. They actually seem to cross each other out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I think I rambled a little bit there. So
that's,
I'm
okay.
Stop.
I got it. Yeah, no, that's cool. So I guess my other question would be, is there anything that you've taken into your gaming life that we've talked about, into is gaming? Because I know we've talked a lot about gaming stuff. Have you gotten any new perspective on gaming stuff while we've been doing the podcast?
Well, when it comes to game mastering, the idea of like what we created for Ironbound, of having a specific kind of choosing an element and using that as kind of like a guiding light for how you want to GM the game, that is something I've noticed I really started to apply in all the games I'm running. Mm. Like, I'm going to be running some games. By the time this releases, I've already run the games at Can Games, which is a convention in Ottawa. My first one in four years.
Yay!
And, yeah, I'm going into each one and saying, it's like, all right, for Pandora, I want to be an Earth player. I need to keep this grim. I need to keep this really grounded in a firm reality of things being harsh and everything else. And then for Killshot, I want to be like a fire player. I just want to be, you know, kind of like harsh on them a little bit, kind of burn them, make them see, you know, like just how deadly a world this is, that kind of stuff. So I very much have taken that idea of the five elements in my game mastering to kind of influence it. Just like, it's my little shortcut. Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, I'm a water player. I'm here to back them up. That's their call. If they decide that they want to get into a big fight, that I will follow their lead. But so far, they seem to be cool doing all the shopping in town. Uh-huh. So let's just roll with it. You know, whereas if I was, you know, more of an air player, I'd be like, all right, let's kind of move things along. You just write down what you need. We're going to get along to the next, you know, like big moment in the story, mm-hmm. kind of stuff. With my game design, I think if anything, it's been more of, I just have a firmer idea of what it is that I want to do now. Like when we did the episode, when we were talking about allegory, metaphors and all this other kind of stuff, that one really kind of resonated with me afterwards, to the point where it was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, I really want to have a way to do that more. And it is something I'm very much leaning on, where it's like everything I do moving forward has to be something else. It's got, even if it's not really overt, you know, slap you across the face kind of metaphor, right. where it's one, but deep down inside, I know. So like, I've been working on a new version of my first original game, Killshot. This one has more of an emphasis on being a crime drama where you are trying to survive the syndicate that you're a part of. You're going around, you're killing people because you have to kill people because your bosses want you to kill people. Why? To protect them. They'll throw you in jail or they'll bury you in a cornfield. It's all about protecting the boss. You are a cog in the wheel and you'll be cut loose in order to protect the boss, plain and simple. And I want this to be a game that's actually anti-violence by having violent characters fuck up their lives.
Right.
Because when I watch documentaries about mobsters, criminals and stuff, everything that they did, they brought on themselves. Enough said. Poor decision making. Bad call. You know, just like the get rich quick scheme that got out of hand. Kind of stuff like that. That's the kind of stuff that I want to put into it. So I definitely want to lean more into, sure, on the surface is this, but deep down inside, it's actually really about this when you think about it.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. And it's totally okay if it's just like, no, this just solidified some things I'd already thought, you know, or made me do an opposite thing because I realized, oh, I was doing this. You know what I mean? Like, there's all sorts of reactions you can have. Yeah, that's cool.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered, too, the episode about GM or players.
Oh.
After we recorded that, I very much walked away. It's just like, I need to change how I play. Clearly, the problem is not, ugh, games are boring when you're just playing one character. It's more of like, okay, clearly I'm the one who's not going into it. I'm the one who's being the snob, who's basically just like, you know, ugh, Zac Efron in an Academy Award-winning drama. No, thank you. I have better standards than that. It was just like, hold on a sec. Mr. Hunky could actually be pretty good. He could be a phenomenal actor. Like, you know, cut him a break. Matthew McConaughey amazed all of us. So it's possible that's good-looking people could also be talented actors, not just good-looking people. So, yes, I've also very much changed my opinion on playing RPGs after that episode, where it's just like, everyone else, Danny's having fun with it. I'm going to try it Danny's way. Like, my way is clearly not working, so I'm just going to steal someone else's approach, and I'll just try that.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens. Like, I have an online group now, and we're playing Knights Black Agents, which I've heard a lot about. But it's, at the same time, too, it's never been one that I've been like, oh, I got to give that a shot. But my mantra going into this group was, don't say no. Always work with what's given it. And once that one was kind of thrown out there, I was just like, all right, let's do it. Let's go for it. The only way to find out if I like it is to actually play it and go into
it. Give it a chance.
You know, and, you know, like, give it a go. Try and be somebody different. You know, step outside the box. What is the first thing I would think about creating? Do the opposite of that. So instead of being, you know, like the gun-toting guy, the first one to kick in the door, I'm the guy in the back. I'm actually the explosive guy.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm somehow I ended up being a sniper at the same time too. So I'm a little multi-talented, but I'm the guy at the back of the room, kind of thing like that. And let someone else be the one kicking down the door first and foremost.
Yeah.
So yes, that episode I think definitely changed my opinion.
Because we definitely talked about, like, in that episode, we talked about, you know, what is player's responsibility? And in our opinion, you know, what is the player responsible for? And I remember talking a lot about buy-in. Like, that's part of your responsibility is to buy into the premise that you're going in and to go into it sincerely, you know, because if you don't, you're not going to have a good time, right? If you go in going, I'm not going to like this, or I don't want to do this, or I'm just gonna, you know, diss everything that's happening, and I'm just gonna, you know, be an obstacle. You know, that's not a good time for anybody. You know, like, why are you there then? I'm glad. As for me, I wanted to talk about that question as well. You know, as you mentioned, you and I have different philosophies on things, you know, you know, I, as a GM, when I run things, you know, I am very much often fly by the seat of my pants. You know, I have a structure, I have motivations and things like that, but man, I make up a whole bunch of stuff as I go along. You know what I mean? You know, to you and us talking about things makes me realize I could maybe do with a little bit more, not necessarily a ton, but it made me, you know, because I definitely like having the freedom to kind of improv and make whatever happen. So I don't want to be constrained, but it really made me reflect because I think you prep a lot more than I do, I think. So, in terms of jamming, I think you do. Because I barely do any. So I'll just say that right out loud. I barely do any. You know, I'll admit that.
Yeah, no, I don't do any prep. That's also a loaded question because in a sense that the most of the games that I run are ones that I made. So they're extensively prepped. In that I made it from scratch.
Right.
And how it's played. But when it comes to the actual session itself, it's all just coming out my butt. It's all just like, let's just see what happens. It's, you know, I'll have a framework going into it, more so with the convention stuff, because I want to make sure it's something that's going to wrap up in a 4-hour period. But even then, if I can cheat and bullet point my way through it, totally. Like, for this convention, for this new version of Killshot, I'm just going to go ahead and not just. I am going to take one of the jobs from the first edition, and I will just use that one. Because I've run that one before. It's been a while, but it'll click in as I go. And then I get to also see how this new version holds up compared to the original version, kind of.
Yeah.
But Yeah, the rest of the time, like with my Ironbound game, with my Ottawa group, I have some notes and I have some ideas, especially too for the next session when we're finally able to get back to it. But otherwise, I've just been rolling with it.
Well, maybe it was my own self-reflection then, perhaps. Maybe not necessarily your, but talking about it kind of made me realize when I thought about the sessions where I had done some prep versus ones where no, it's not like the ones that I didn't really turned out bad. I just realized when I had just a little bit of thought put into it, they went, one of the ones in my vampire game, it just kind of made me think about the difference, you know, because when we were talking about it, I think I had to reflect on it, perhaps, because I'm trying to pull back in my memory, which is not, you know, it's good for some things, not good for others. But no, I just remember coming away from that conversation, reflecting on how I GM and the differences and stuff and what I've changed over the years, going from thinking I had to Virgo plan every single instance and stuff like that, to over the years coming to the conclusion that I don't. I mean, really, the extensive of my prep is usually I have some sort of inciting incident and then my NPCs. And every time I prep for a game, I look at my NPCs and say, okay, what are they doing now? What do they want? And how do they feel about it? And I answer those questions for each one. And then that way, no matter what the players do, I have an answer, right? I just kind of go based on what that particular NPC wants and what they're after and what they're doing. And that makes it real easy. So I think maybe it was self-reflective, but it made me think, because specifically I remember thinking of one episode, one session that I did in my vampire game, where they went and did, they met some changelings. They met some fae, like vampires meeting some fae, because they really didn't have a lot of choice in the matter, and they had to. So I had to come up with, you know, I had the NPC of the Duchess and this fae, you know, and everything, and it was one that I had a chance to kind of sit and think for about an hour on it and what I really wanted to happen. And I just kind of planned what she wanted and how this thing was going to look. And it didn't take me long at all. It took me like not even an hour, maybe like a half hour somewhere, just sitting and thinking about it. And I came up with this whole thing of like a game of fear, where the fae kind of made them each go into this kind of fae magic area where they kind of face their own fears. And I had sat there and thought about each one of the characters and what their fear would be. And by far, that is whenever I do Stars and Wishes and we kind of come to a midpoint and I kind of ask them to reflect on what's happened so far at the end of the season. This was like a third season episode session. They mention it. And in the other episodes that I had done that they mention, like the dinner I did with the big bad, like they had this really kind of fancy dinner with threatening undertones with like the big bad of the season, that I had a chance to prep and really think about what was going to happen, are the episodes that they refer to as like some of their favorite ones. So I think us talking about it really made me reflect on at least taking a little bit of time, and that just rounds everything out to make a good session, not just good, but great. And one that they want to like do art about or write fic about or anything like that, you know, which I've been lucky enough to have my players do upon occasion. You know, it's kind of the ultimate compliment that they're so into the game and the story that they want to do art about it themselves, draw something, write something, you know, make a playlist, you know, anything where they like, I want more content. I need to get more of this out. And, you know, I mean, I got the Duchess drawn for me by one of my players because she loves Faye, so she was fascinated by it. And she drew one of my characters and everything like that. I have it up there. But like, you know, it made me really reflect on that when we talked about the game master and player episodes. Really made me, at least that particular episode made me think on that and think of, you know, when I have time, it really does make a difference. I didn't think it did, but reflecting upon that episode and talking about player versus game master made me reflect that it really did make a difference. It kind of added that layer of je ne sais quoi of sitting there and actually kind of just thinking about it. Even if I don't write down much, you know, to reference, because my notes are usually like a page, but it's a matter of really sitting and taking the time to reflect on what's happened and how that affects everything that really made the difference for me. And just writing down notes to jog my memory about what I've come up with, you know, usually just like a page or two, you know. But yeah, so that's really something that I reflected on during our podcast in terms of gaming and stuff. And plus, it's also made me really reflect on, you know, you asking questions makes me reflect on my own stuff. You know, what do I think? What do I believe? What do I know? And why do I think that? You know, and that's always good, I think, to question why you think something or why you believe something or verbalize it in a lot of ways, if you can, you know. And so that's been helpful to me as well, to kind of verbalize some things that may have been kind of nebulous or just something I had, but I haven't had to explain it or verbalize it or try to explain it to somebody else. And that's been helpful for me as well. So.
There is something about verbalizing things that are otherwise just abstract, knocking around in your head. You just know it because it is, because you know it. But then the time comes and you have to actually explain it, put it into words for someone else to comprehend. And it really has this way of kind of changing how you could think about certain things. And then, you know, so yeah, it's one of those things I do find. It's one of the benefits I have in living in a rural area with 4 acres and a massive amount of woods to myself, is that if I really need to try and figure something out, I can go somewhere where no one will see me or hear me and just talk out loud. And then just be like, does that sound like it makes sense? No, that sounds like absolute gibberish. What the fuck am I thinking about?
That sounds silly now that I say it out loud. That's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, yeah, at all. There's got to be a better way of putting it. That's like a really long-winded way to say something that's got to be like quick to the point. We got to move on, you know? So, yeah, and that's kind of one of the benefits. I find, at the end of each episode, there's always been something for me to kind of be like, huh, never considered that before. Whether or not that's something that you said, or that's something that I said. And I don't remember which one it was, but there was a time too when I was listening to an episode when it was released in the car. And it was like, oh, I didn't even remember that I said that. And it was just like, oh, that's an interest. I never really considered that before, where I like changed my own mind, which is a really surreal moment.
Yeah.
Like when you're someone like me who has suffered from extensive brain damage and has a very good likelihood of getting Alzheimer's as he gets older, the fact that you can convince yourself through the radio of your vehicle into something that you didn't, you know, know how to quantify before is incredibly surreal. Yeah. Just like, you know, it's almost like you're just listening to notes to yourself. Just like,
I've had weird...
A grocery list followed by a theory on theology, you know, that you happen to have in the shower.
Yeah, I mean, I've had moments where I've looked at stuff that I'd written a while ago and be like, did I write that? I don't remember writing that. Hey, that's pretty good. You know, once you get distance from it, right? Because like when I write something, I'm generally like, that's not great or whatever. But I remember getting a copy of something I'd written and it'd been a while. Of course, sometimes it takes a while to get something that you'd done back, right? So it'd been months, it'd been a year maybe before I got a copy of this thing. And I remember looking at it and I had done some quote from some NPC and I'd written this quote at the start of this chapter, the chapter I'd been working on. I was like, wow, that's a good quote. Did I do that? Did I write that? And I actually went and looked at my draft because I was like, did they add that or did I write that? I don't remember, but that's pretty good. And I went and looked and no, I'd written it. It was in my draft. I was like, huh. I was like, you know, you're like, wow, okay. You know, just getting some distance, you know, a little distance from something. Sometimes even stuff you do yourself sometimes, you know, gives you a new appreciation or a new thought process for it, you know, like very weird how that happens in the creative profession.
I've been reading the first edition of Killshot, you know, just kind of, you know, absorb it a little bit and everything like that. And I read back on it and just like, damn, that's evocative. It's just like, it really does a good, and that's the one thing I've heard about that. The game is actually clunky. There's no way I'm going to run it anymore. It's so clunky. It's kind of like, in hindsight, looking back, I'm very ashamed of what I did. It was just like, I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Roll 20 dice, add them all together, then divide the total by 10.
What?
And, oh, I'm sure everyone's capable of doing that kind of stuff in their head, no problem. Yeah, I'm not kidding. It worked for the time, but now, having learned and developed what I have, it's just like, whoa, no, there's easier ways that I can do that. But the way that it was written, and I'm going to go full brag on this, it's really good. And that's the thing I've heard from people. Because the issue that I had was I wasn't able to hire a professional editor. I had a friend who was, you know, like in basically his own words, competent and capable with the English language, but at the same time, too, not a fully trained editor like I have now with Vincent Harper. And so I needed to cheat. So it's like, no, I'm going to write it completely in character. It's just some guy used to be a hitman, and now his job is to teach other people how to be a hitman. And he'll give a fuck. You know, you can take it or you can leave it. He doesn't give a shit. And even the mechanics are explained first person.
Mm.
You know, but so it's basically, you have to picture like this mob guy in his 60s, maybe just got out of jail, and he's sitting in a warehouse surrounded by all these gamers with dice and everything like that. And he's trying to explain it just like, see, the trick is, you want to blow somebody's head off, you need to roll at least a 20 on your d20, okay? Otherwise, you got nothing. You got nothing. Don't even talk to me about it. That's literally nice. How the game That's is cool. explained. And it is so, it is really cool to read it. It's just like, I got to remember to write the new version that way. You know, maybe whether or not I bring that voice back or try something a little different, you know.
Right.
But yeah, when you go back and see some of your earlier work and it really clicks, it's just like, oh, I am good at this. Okay, right, good. It's very reassuring, actually, because it's way too easy to be like, I suck.
Yeah.
I didn't hit my word goal today, or this didn't happen. This character doesn't, I'm not feeling this character.
Right.
Looking back and seeing something that you nailed can go a long
way. Oh, yeah. You know, so I think the end of all, both of our things is doing this has led us to be reflective. Not only about, you know, our stuff, but looking back at our stuff and reflecting on how we've changed or what we, you know, new stuff on whether we've done, either we think it's worse or it's better than we thought, you know, in the end, you know. Yeah, I mean, the podcast has really been good for that, I think, reflecting and thinking about,
yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Dolly Parton says, find out who you are and then do it with a purpose. So having this podcast sort of is helpful to figure out, well, who am I as a GM, as a player, as a designer? Who am I? And then doing it on purpose. Because when people have to be careful, because it's what I'm going to say now goes for any creative endeavor at all, whether you're writing fiction, whether you're writing comic books, whether you're an actor or whether you're a voice actor, whether you're any kind of artist, a painter, any kind of artist, any kind of creative where you're creating your own things. There is a really great thought process that when you learn about being creative, is that in the beginning, following other people, right? You're looking at stuff that you enjoyed that got you into that creative endeavor in the first place. And you're mimicking that. You're mimicking that. And that's how you learn. That's how you start. Okay. Is mimicking other people, going ahead and doing it, messing up, getting started. And then eventually what you have to do is you have to find out who you are, what your thing that you can bring that nobody else can bring is. And then once you figure that out, lean into it. because that's what's going to set you apart from everybody else. And finding that part of what do you think? What do you believe? Where are you creating from? Why are you creating these things? And being able to, I mean, because, you know, if you probably have it in the back of your head, but doing it in a conscious way and reflecting on it, like we kind of do in these podcasts. Why did we want to do Ironbound? What are we hoping people get out of it? And stuff like that. That's what sets something apart from just every other game that people put out there because they want to put games out there, or every other book out there, or whatever you're doing, or every other performance or something like that. What are you? What is your thing that you're bringing to it that no one else can? You know? And I think a lot of this is good for that. Us being here in a podcast and discussing these things, because you're always finding out who you are. Because no matter how long you've been a creative, that changes. You know what I mean? Like who I was when I was in my 20s and writing things versus who I am now in my 40s writing things are very, very different. 20s Danny had very different thoughts than 40s Danny does. And so, you know, reflecting on what you are then versus who you are now and being willing to reflect on, was what I'm doing then is really working for me now? Do I need to do something else? You know, and you can look at artists who have different phases of their life and changing because they needed different things and they had changed, you know? And so they do different things. But as long as you're kind of constantly reflecting on it and trying to find what you have that no one else does, then I think that's worth it. And I think this podcast, hopefully, you know, I know it's helped me do that and reflect and try to being asked questions and being asked to reflect on certain things and really helped me to say, well, what am I bringing to this? What does make Ironbound different from other stuff? You know, what than any other witch game that somebody has out there? What makes my stuff different than anybody else's? You know, and having to reflect on that, I think is just going to make everything better in the first, and you know, it's going to make it better. It can only make it better if you're doing it with intention and focus. You know what I mean? It's great to start out with a feeling.
Yeah.
Right. It's great to start out with a feeling and a vague idea, but at some point you have to be focused on it and know what that is, or it's going to be disjointed, right? Because once you have the idea and you know what it is, everything else comes into focus. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but what I'm, you know, but as a designer, if you're sitting there, this is what I want for this game. And once you decide that, other decisions become easier because you're like, oh, if I want this from the game, then of course this is a decision I have to make because that's going to support what my vision is for it, right? I mean, have you had that? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've had that.
Very recently, this is starting to feel like, you know, the Killshot episode. While working on the new version of Killshot, I've been trying to come up with ways to tackle certain things probably for about the last 6-7 years. Just on and off. Every once in a while, I'm going to give it another go. Nah, I'm not liking this. It's not doing what I want it to do. And very recently, I was listening to a podcast and they were talking about clocks in games, you know, and they're a really effective, ridiculously simple tool to basically put tension in the game where basically you have a 6-segmented clock, for example, could be 8, could be 10, but anytime a certain action happens or a certain die roll happens or something, one of those segments is filled. When the entire segment is full, something is triggered in the game. And I was listening to them talk about it, and I said, like, yep, well, and that's all well and good. But if you could then have a way to negotiate and expand the number of segments in that clock as like a delay tactic. And then it was, I think I was driving at the time, and I literally was just like, holy shit, that's what I've been looking for. And that, once I put that into Killshot, it was like, no, this is a defining aspect. I need everything else to allow this to work. Everything has to be about these clocks, which in the game are called thresholds. Because as the story progresses, you have these different thresholds. And they can be your crew. They can be your family. You could have a legitimate business. You have various schemes. They all have a threshold. And as things happen in the game, the clocks fill. The threshold fills up. And then if it gets full, something bad's going to happen to your character. You're going to get punished either by the law or you're going to get punished by the syndicate. So one's expensive and you'll be locked away for a while. The other one, you'll get the shit beaten out of you. Or you might get killed. But what you can do is say, nuts, my legitimate business threshold is about to fill up. I'm going to cut a deal with somebody and add 5 more segments to that clock and buy me some time. In exchange, I owe someone a favor, and that favor is a job. Somebody's got to be killed. So in order for me to not get arrested or get whacked by my syndicate, I have to go do a job for somebody else. Once that job is done, boom, I bought myself some more time. But now that threshold is bigger, so the consequences, if it does fill up later, get worse. Yeah. And what you're doing is you're just delaying the inevitable, delaying the inevitable, delaying the inevitable, and doing terrible things to make that happen. And that was just like, boom, that was the solution that I've been waiting for years.
Yeah, and I, you know, that's why you'll hear writers say stuff like, well, you know, just wrote itself after a certain point. The characters write itself. You know, and people often take that like, what, characters are talking? No, what it means is that you have such a clear vision of who that character is and what you're trying to say, that the decisions are easy because you're just doing everything to support it, you know? You're doing everything you can to support what that is. And so it makes sense. It's not, you know, it's a lot easier because you know what you're trying to do. So that podcast over the past year has been really helpful in that for Ironbound and really helpful just in general to kind of do that sort of thing. But as it will be no surprise to anybody, we have gone over. We've gone over.
We're going to have to make some kind of like a theme song for something like that, where it's just like, you know, but as everybody knows, we've gone over.
Indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Well, is there any final, a whole year of podcasting? Any final?
Well, here's the irony of it. Recording this episode has made me think of something else. That I didn't even think about before we even started recording. I think the idea and learning about witches having their beliefs, society be damned, has been very inspirational to me to be like, you know what? You know, so many witches that I have met so far and read their comments in the various Facebook groups that I follow, they're kind of like, well, this is what I do. I'm not, you know, shouting it to the clouds or anything like that, but this is who I am, and I really don't care what others think. This is how I want to live my life. And I found that's been something that's just like, wow, to have that sense of self-satisfaction and self-fulfillment was just like, I think it has affected me in a sense because it's something I am starting to really discover of just like, you know what? I did a lot of stuff for the longest time creatively that required accolades, recognition from anybody and everybody in order for me to feel like I did good. And now I'm kind of like, no, I'm going to do it because I want to do it. And if it turns out to be something that other people want to give a shit about.
Right.
Cool. Like Pandora Total Destruction. The sales? Blech. Now, at the same time, too, could I be doing more to push it out there and get it out there and stuff like this? Yes. But at the same time, too, I think one of the reasons why I haven't is because it's like, there, I did it and I made it and I'm really proud of it. And if no one else ever hears or sees it, I'm okay with that because I did it and I made it and I put it out there my way.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't change it anything.
That's an important part for sure, for sure. Yeah. Because every creative has to have, I mean, I think every creative goes through that of like you're trying to please other people or you're trying to go after what you think they want. And you really, at a certain point, you have to be like, you know what? I'm the creative and I have to make what's going to make me feel fulfilled as a creative. And the people who are my audience are going to find me and the rest don't matter. You know, because it's not going to be, it's not going to have that, you know, people talk about authenticity or sincerity when they're reading something. Like you can tell somebody really put tons in this game. They put themselves into it. You know what I mean? They really put themselves into it. And you can tell that. You can tell that in performances on TV. You can tell that in books. You can tell that in people design games. You know, you can tell. And you don't get that if you go after other people's approval, because it's not going to be that, because it won't be authentic. It won't be coming from yourself, you know? You know, that's why, you know, I mean, we're doing Ironbound and will every witch agree with what, you know, I'm saying in it or what I'm doing with it? No, I don't expect so, you know, but it's not about that. If I started worrying about what every witch is going to think who reads it or is going to be upset.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it. But this is me. This is not them. They're their own witches. I'm mine. Yeah. And this is me. And so I'm putting into it what I understand of my practice and my belief system and what I understand of Wicca. And other people understand it differently. Some witches are going to be like, right on. And some are going to be like, what the heck? You know, like, you know, you know, they're going to go, why are you saying this stuff? Why are you treating it like this? You know, and stuff like that. You know, witchcraft isn't a game. Witchcraft isn't that, you know, and it's just because we're coming from different places. Yeah. I perceive religion and spirituality a certain way and they do it a certain way. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if I start worrying about what every gamer or what every witch was going to think when they play the game, you know, I wouldn't be interested in it. I'd just be trying to chase, you know, whatever I thought the majority wanted or everybody wanted. You know, and so you have to let that go. You have to let it go and do what you want. And the people who are going to be there for it are going to be there for it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good moment to Indeed. Wrap it up.
In that case, we hope you enjoyed. Right. Let us know. Did you learn anything in the year of podcasts? Have you learned anything in one of our episodes? Did it make you reflect on something? Do you have something you want to let us know about that you want us to talk about in the next year of episodes? Let us know. But until then, we wish you a little magic in your gaming and a little gaming in your magic. Hi, everybody.
Good night.
The Covenstead Podcast was created and produced by Danielle Delisle and Todd Crapper. Theme music written and composed by John Thompson from the Rook and Rask channel on Twitch. Definitely check them out.
Special thanks to all of our backers: Alex, Tim Brannan, Chris Atrata, Century Guild, Nicholas Diak, Fool's Moon Entertainment, Kaboom.com, -50s, no apologies, Brian P. Kurtz, Jason LeDuc, Civ Light, Revna, Derek Simsek, Danielle Thomas, Phil Watson, Jacob Wood, and Victor Wyatt.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
I have no idea why I said goodnight, but there it is.